إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ولو أنا أهلكناهم بعذاب من قبله لقالوا ربنا لولا أرسلت إلينا رسولا فنتبع آياتك من قبل أن نذل ونخزى. قل كل متربص فتربصوا فستعلمون من أصحاب الصراط السوي ومن اهتدى. وقال النبي صلى الله تعالى عليه وسلم: من أحب لله وأبغض لله وأعطى لله ومنع لله فقد استكمل الإيمان، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. صدق الله مولانا العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم، ونحن على ذلك من الشاهدين والشاكرين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. Honorable ulama ikram, respected brothers, elders, mothers and sisters, Allah Rabbul Izzat has repeatedly in the Quran in many verses explicitly and emphatically highlighted the various weaknesses and shortcomings of man. At times Allah has referred to man by saying, خُلِقَ الْإِنسَانُ ضَعِيفًا. Man has been created weak. خُلِقَ الْإِنسَانُ مِنْ عَجَلٍ. Man has been created with a hasty nature. In fact, under the commentary of this ayah, Allah says, وَلَوْ يُعَجِّلُ اللَّهُ لِلنَّاسِ الشَّرَّ اسْتِعْجَالَهُمْ بِالْخَيْرِ لَقُضِيَ إِلَيْهِمْ أَجَلُهُمْ. That many a times in a person's hasty nature, he tends to curse his own children. Sometimes in the hasty nature of man, he invokes wrath upon himself. Another verse of the Quran, إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لِرَبِّهِ لَكَنُود. Man is kanood. Hasan Basri rahmatullah alayhi, commentating on this verse, explains kanood. Kanood is that person who remembers the bounties but ideally forgets the giver of the bounty. Another weakness of man, كَانَ الْإِنسَانُ قَتُورًا. Allah says man has a very narrow heart. He is a miser by his nature. قُلْ لَوْ أَنْتُمْ تَمْلِكُونَ خَزَائِنَ رَحْمَةِ رَبِّي إِذَا لَأَمْسَكْتُمْ خَشْيَةَ الْإِنفَاقِ. Allah says, if I had to make you in charge of my treasures, you would have not spent out of the fear that it will come to an end, knowing very well that my treasures will never be exhausted. But given your nature, O insan. وَإِذَا أَنْعَمْنَا عَلَى الْإِنسَانِ أَعْرَضَ وَنَآ بِجَانِبِ. When I favor him, he becomes arrogant. When I test him, he becomes despondent. Both conditions show that he is not connected to Allah. His arrogance and his despondency. So Allah Ta'ala has highlighted many, many weaknesses of man in the Quran. And one of the common weaknesses in man is, which the Quran features quite commonly and extensively, is that man cannot admit and acknowledge his wrong. This is a human weakness. He finds it very difficult to admit his wrong. In fact, more tragic than the fact that he cannot admit his wrong is that when he's told about his wrong, when he's cautioned about his wrong, then he ideally accuses, blames and implies his wrong or to prove himself innocent. Whenever man is told that this is what you have done is wrong, he blames, he accuses, he implicates, he insults to justify what he has done. And the greater the wrong, the more the accusation. The greater the wrong, the more the accusation. Hence the Quran speaks about the accusations that the dwellers of Jahannam will level against everyone, because that will be the pinnacle of grief. So they will blame this one, they will blame that one. Why did we end up in Jahannam? إِنَّ ذَٰلِكَ لَحَقٌ تَخَاصُمُ أَهْلِ النَّارِ. إِنَّ ذَٰلِكَ لَحَقٌ تَخَاصُمُ أَهْلِ النَّارِ. Verily this is a reality, and that is the arguments of the dwellers of Jahannam. We see commonly in this world, the losing side is always arguing. The winning side is not arguing. The losing side is forever arguing. Allah Ta'ala draws the picture of how they will pass the buck to one another, why we ended up in Jahannam. If you only can comprehend the eloquence of the Quran. وَلَوْ تَرَى إِذِ الْمُجْرِمُونَ مَوْقُوفُونَ عِنْدَ رَبِّهِمْ يَرْجِعُ بَعْضُهُمْ إِلَىٰ بَعْضٍ الْقَوْلِ O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, if you have to visualize that time when the disbelievers, the transgressors and the criminals will stand before Allah. And they will be passing the buck. Literally the Quran says passing it to one another, blaming one another. يَقُولُ الَّذِينَ اسْتُضْعِفُوا لِلَّذِينَ اسْتَكْبَرُوا لَوْلَا أَنْتُمْ لَكُنَّا مُؤْمِنِينَ The weak, the followers will tell the leaders, really you people caused it in this world. You that were in influential, high profile positions. You really led us and misled us and you showed us the wrong things to do. Wallah, if it wasn't for you, I swear we would have been believers. These people will then retort in the court of Allah and say, وَقَالَ الَّذِينَ اسْتَكْبَرُوا لِلَّذِينَ اسْتُضْعِفُوا أَنَحْنُ صَدَدْنَاكُمْ عَنِ الْهُدَى بَعْدَ إِذْ جَاءَكُمْ بَلْ كُنْتُمْ مُجْرِمِينَ The leaders will say, did we physically prevent you from guidance? No, no, you by your own wrong, by your own vice, you deviated and you opted for vice. You yourself are sinners. It won't end there. They will respond again. وَقَالَ الَّذِينَ اسْتُضِعِفُوا لِلَّذِينَ اسْتَكْبَرُوا بَلْ مَكْرُ اللَّيْلِ وَالنَّهَارِ Don't forget the evil plots and the agendas that you had by night. And you used to always invite me to your evil gatherings. And you always told me to do this and you do that. Have you forgotten all those things? It is because of that I'm suffering. When they will realize that blaming others is not to avail them, then there will be one way out to vent their frustration. Imagine the Quran says, كَذَلِكَ يُرِيهِمُ اللَّهُ أَعْمَالَهُمْ حَسَرَاتٍ عَلَيْهِمْ Allah will repeatedly show them their evil actions to intensify their regret, to make worse their pain and their torment. So they will be punished on every level, and one will be a psychological punishment. And that is, they will be shown the evil actions constantly. See what you did, that is why you're suffering. Just to aggravate the grief, hasaratin alayhim. So the last way, when they will blame and accuse, but nobody will take responsibility. So then they will make one request to Allah. قَالُوا رَبَّنَا مَنْ قَدَّمَ لَنَا هَذَا فَزِدُهُ عَذَابًا ضِعْفًا فِي النَّارِ Allah, do us one favor. According to me, this is the man because of whom I ended in Jahannam. But he blatantly refuses and he denies it. Allah, there's one way you're able to soothe me, is whatever punishment you're going to give me, give him double, I'll feel happy. Allah, whatever you're going to punish me, punish him double. رَبَّنَا آتِهِمْ ضِعْفَيْنِ مِنَ الْعَذَابِ Allah, give him double the punishment, then I will feel at ease. And obviously the easiest target to blame will be the devil, the softest target. And undoubtedly the devil has a share in every evil, but he is not the ultimate cause of every evil. So before mankind will accuse the devil will deliver a lecture in Jahannam. The Quran speaks about it. And I literally use the word lecture in Tafsir al-Uthmani. This is the term used. World-renowned Iblis. Listeners will be millions and billions. Venue Jahannam. Duration 15 minutes. And thereafter question and answer session. The Quran says that when the dwellers of Jahannam will go to Jahannam, and obviously everybody will want to accuse the devil now. The nature of man to accuse. So the devil will clear the air before all accusations are leveled against him. وَقَالَ الشَّيْطَانُ لَمَّا قُضِيَ الْأَمْرُ إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَعَدَكُمْ وَعَدَ الْحَقِّ وَوَعَدْتُكُمْ The devil will say, listen, all you occupants of Jahannam, Allah save us all. All you dwellers of Jahannam, listen. إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَعَدَكُمْ وَعَدَ الْحَقِّ وَوَعَدْتُكُمْ فَأَخْلَفْتُكُمْ Allah promised you that this day was to dawn upon you. وَوَعَدْتُكُمْ فَأَخْلَفْتُكُمْ And I promised you otherwise. And you knew what Allah said was an absolute reality, and what I said was a lie. يَعِدُهُمْ وَيُمَنِّيهِمْ وَمَا يَعِدُهُمُ الشَّيْطَانُ إِلَّا غُرُورًا The devil falsely satisfies you and gives you wrong aspirations. Furthermore, the devil will say, وَمَا كَانَ لِيَ عَلَيْكُمْ مِنْ سُلْطَانٍ إِلَّا أَنْ دَعُوتُكُمْ فَاسْتَجَبْتُمْ لِي. Before you tell Allah that I am the cause of your zina, and I am the cause of your interest, and I am the cause of you not performing salah, remember, there were those that invited you to good and I invited you to evil. فَاسْتَجَبْتُمْ لِي. The tragedy is that you responded to mine and you denied the message of good. Now explicitly the Quran quotes, and this is what I want to highlight today, فَلَا تَلُومُونِي فَلَا تَلُومُونِي وَلُومُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ. It's time you stop blaming others and blame yourself. The Muslim Ummah is currently going through a crisis where undoubtedly we're facing hostility, victimization. But we've made this the pretext to justify our weakness in ibadat. I ask you, my brother, perhaps you're traveling in the world, you victimize, you're marginalized. Which infidel, which superpower, which country are you going to accuse for not allowing you to perform fajr other than your weakness? To whom are you going to point fingers? Which nation, which power, which planning, which strategy? To whom will you implicate? Who compels you to bring that devil box in your house? Who compels you to bring interest in your business? Who compels you to unveil your sister? فَلَا تَلُومُونِي وَلُومُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ. Don't blame me, blame yourself. And the Hadith Qudsi, where Allah Rabbul Izzat says, that يَا عِبَادِي إِنَّمَا هِيَ أَعْمَالُكُمْ أُحْصِيهَا لَكُمْ ثُمَّ أُوَفِّيكُمْ إِيَّاهَا. O my servant, these are your actions, as you do it, I record it. فَمَنْ وَجَدَ خَيْرًا فَلْيَحْمَدِ اللَّهِ. If you happen to appear before me and you find a book of deeds which reflect noble and virtuous deeds, then praise Allah and consider yourself fortunate and lucky. وَمَنْ وَجَدَ غَيْرَ ذَلِكَ. And the one who comes before me and finds in his book of deeds evil, sin, vice, deceit, deceive, zina, فَلَا يَلُومَنَّ إِلَّا نَفْسَ. Then tell him he must take responsibility for what is there and he must blame none but himself. He must blame none but himself. So the devil will say, don't blame me, blame yourself. مَا أَنَا بِمُسْرِخِكُمْ وَمَا أَنْتُمْ بِمُسْرِخِي. I cannot respond to your call of desperation and neither can you respond to mine. You will sit and I will sit. The Quran says in the ayat-e kareema that I recited before you, Allah Rabbul Izzat speaking about this weakness and this nature of man, Allah says, if I had to send man in this world and expect of him to understand good by virtue of his logic, and understand vice by virtue of his sanity, and then punish him for the wrong he does and reward him for the good he does, just by virtue of his logic, then man out of his arguing nature would have turned around and said, رَبَّنَا لَوْلَا أَرْسَلْتَ إِلَيْنَا رَسُولًا. Allah, you could have been kind enough to at least send a prophet to give us one reminder. This is what the Quran says. Allah says, if I had to send man in this world and expect of him by virtue of his logic, which undoubtedly logic and intellect is a vehicle as far as understanding truth is concerned. The Quran refers to it as ulin nuha, the people of intelligence. And nuha actually is the plural of the word nuhya. وَسُمِّيَ الْعَقْلُ نُهْيَ لِأَنَّهُ يَنْهَى صَاحِبُهُ عَنْ إِرْتِكَابِ الْقَبَائِحِ. The object of the intellect is to prevent you from wrong. So if your intellect is not prevent you from wrong, I'm afraid you lack it. Allah says, if I had to send man in this world without a Nabi, and then expect of him by virtue of his logic and his understanding that he can arrive at the right things and abstain from the wrong, man would have turned around and said the following to me, رَبَّنَا لَوْلَا أَرْسَلْتَ إِلَيْنَا رَسُولًا. Allah, if you send a prophet to us, نَتَّبِعَ آيَاتِكَ, we promise we would have followed your commandments. وَنَكُونَ مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ, we would have diligently complied to your dictates. So Allah says, out of my sheer mercy, I send a Nabi to them, and not a Nabi, I send the best of Anbiya. لَقَدْ مَنَّ اللَّهُ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Some villagers came, And they started impressing upon Nabi alayhi salam that we became Muslims, we became Muslims. So Allah revealed the verse, يَمُنُّونَ عَلَيْكَ أَنْ أَسْلَمُوا يَمُنُّونَ عَلَيْكَ أَنْ أَسْلَمُوا قُلْ لَا تَمُنُّوا عَلَيَّ إِسْلَامَكُمْ. Oh Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, these people are impressing upon you that they're Muslims as if they have done me a favor. Tell them it's my favor upon them and not their favor upon me. قُلْ لَا تَمُنُّوا عَلَيَّ إِسْلَامَكُمْ بَلِ اللَّهُ يَمُنُّ عَلَيْكُمْ أَنْ هَدَاكُمْ لِلْإِيمَانِ. Allah has guided you, that is the kindness of Allah. Allah says, when I send the Prophet and the Nabi came, now look at man's nature. فَلَمَّا جَاءَهُمُ الْحَقُّ مِنْ عِنْدِنَا قَالُوا لَوْلَا أُوتِيَ مِثْلَ مَا أُوتِيَ مُوسَى. They said, no, we are not convinced on his prophethood. Why doesn't he carry the miracles that were given to Moses? So Allah goes on to say, if the stick of Musa was sufficient to convince that truth was in the message of the prophet, then why did some even deny Musa also? أَوَلَمْ يَكْفُرُوا بِمَا أُوتِيَ مُوسَى مِنْ قَبْلِ. Then they said, no, he's not a prophet. Why? وَقَالَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا لَوْلَا نُزِّلَ عَلَيْهِ الْقُرْآنُ جُمْلَةً وَاحِدًا. Why is the Quran coming down gradually? This gives us a doubt that he's fabricating it. Then they said, لَوْلَا أُنزِلَ إِلَيْهِ مَلَكٌ فَيَكُونَ مَعَهُ نَذِيرٌ. Why doesn't he have some bodyguards with him? Then they said, لَوْلَا نُزِّلَ هَذَا الْقُرْآنُ عَلَىٰ رَجُلٍ مِّنَ الْقَرْيَتَيْنِ عَظِيمٌ. I doubt Muhammad is the suitable man to possess the Quran. The Quran should have been revealed on someone like Urwa ibn Mas'ud. وَالْعِيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ. So man's nature is to argue constantly. Allah says, I took pity on man and I sent this Nabi. لَقَدْ مَنَّ اللَّهُ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. You know, the very beautiful description, perhaps there isn't a more comprehensive description of Islam given in the court of a non-Muslim other than that which the noble companion of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ja'far radiallahu anhu, did. One of the most comprehensive yet voluminous description of Islam when he was summoned in the court of Negus. Today often in this environment of hostility, we are given a platform to speak about Islam. It is sad and tragic that we lack adequate Islamic knowledge, that those of us that assume those positions, we harm the cause of deen more than helping the cause of deen. Why? Because we don't make the needed contribution. Ja'far radiallahu anhu stood up and he described Islam and he described Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, listen king, before you make hasty decisions in our matter, and before you are convinced that we are evil people, why don't you hear me out what I have to say? Ayyuhal malik kunna qawman ahla jahiliya. Na'budul asnam, naqta'ul arham, nusi'ul jiwar. Every vice that you perhaps could think of was common amongst us. We used to sever ties. We used to bury our daughters. We used to consume wine. We lived in sin, vice and deviation until Allah took pity on the Arab nation. Until Allah took pity on the Arab nation and Allah sent a Nabi amongst us. نَعْرِفُ نَسَبَهُ وَصِدَقَهُ وَأَمَانَتَهُ. We looked at the integrity of the man, the chastity of this man, the morality of this man. We accepted his faith and upon this our nation has opposed us. You and I have heard the incident of Mi'raj repeatedly. And I don't want to digress and go into the details of the incident itself. We've heard it, I have said it in this masjid previously, and we've read about it. I want to share one hadith with you today, relevant to the occasion, of course. The hadith appears in Al-Kabair. Imam Zahabi, rahmatullah alayhi, makes mention of the riwayat, Al-Kabair, referring to the major sins. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu says, دَخَلْتُ أَنَا وَفَاتِمَا عَلَىٰ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ يَوْمًا. One day myself and my beloved wife Fatima radiallahu anha went to visit Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. فَوَجَدَنَاهُ يَبْكِي بُكَاءً شَدِيدًا. When we came to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, we found very strange, he was crying profusely. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam was crying profusely. So we sat down. And then we said, فِدَاكَ أَبِي وَأُمِّي يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ مَا الَّذِي أَبْكَاكَ. O Nabi of Allah, may my parents be sacrificed for you. What makes you cry in this manner? The hadith comes, Azizun ka Aziz al Mirjal. When the Prophet ﷺ used to cry, the sound that would emit from his blessed chest was like that of a boiling pot. It is said today that in the gatherings of Sahaba, the one that could not cry was the odd one. Allah forgive, in our gatherings, the one that cries is the odd one. The one that cries in our gatherings is the odd one. And in the gatherings of Sahaba, the one that could not cry was the odd one. Those that could not cry felt we were deprived. Today we cannot cry, we don't feel we deprived. One sahabi came to Nabi alayhi salam and he said, O Nabi of Allah, my heart is gone very hard. The Prophet salam said, what is the matter? He says, previously I used to listen to your talks and I used to cry. Now I cannot cry any longer. أَنَّ رَجُلًا شَكَى قَصْوَةَ قَلْبِهِ إِلَىٰ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ Nabi alayhi salam said, do two things and Allah will soften your heart. إِمْسَحْ رَأْسَ الْيَتِيمِ وَأَطْعِمِ الْمِسْكِينِ It looks like you've distanced yourself from the poor, that is why your heart has become hard. Sit more with the poor and look with a gentle eye to the orphans and Allah will soften your heart. That sahabi says, I did it and from that day onwards, before I used to hear the Nabi of Allah speaking, I used to cry. So we came, we sat by Nabi alayhi salatu was salam, and this is the time to cry. In one riwayat it comes, when the people of the summa, Allah save us all, those that disobeyed Allah will be brought to Jahannam. Hatta idha waqafu bihim ala shafiri Jahannam. When they will be brought at the edge of Jahannam, then Malik, who is in charge of Jahannam, they will tell Malik, Malik, you want to permit us, we want to cry our last bit out. We want to regret the last bit out. So Malik will say, you are at liberty, go ahead and cry. I'm in charge to see that you're going to be burnt. But you want to cry? Go for it and cry. So they will cry profusely. They will literally cry tears of blood, as they say. Malik will make one statement at this juncture and say, Ma ahsana hadha al-buka law kana fi dunya. How brilliant these tears are only if you shed them in the world. How brilliant these tears are only if you shed them in the world. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, and may Allah favor us all with this, brothers. At times Allah grants it. It is such a moment of closeness with Allah. رَجُلٌ ذَكَّرَ اللَّهَ خَالِيًا فَفَاضَتْ عَيْنَا The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, there's one person for whom the fire of Jahannam is forbidden. One who sits in solitude, in loneliness. Perhaps in his house, perhaps in his car, perhaps in his office. And he goes down memory lane. And as he goes down memory lane, the evils of his past start haunting him and start bothering him and start giving him evil flashes and start giving him nightmares. Ya Allah, I got this evil to my account. Ya Allah, I got this evil. And as he starts going down that memory, he starts crying. He starts reviving his past and he starts crying. Allah, I have done this wrong. Allah, in the dead of night, I'm guilty of this also, Allah. Nabi alayhi salam says, that man who in seclusion reflects over his past and cries to Allah, the fire of Jahannam is forbidden on that body. رَجُلٌ ذَكَرَ اللَّهَ خَالِيَا فَفَاضَتْ عَيْنَا What sense don't we have? Yet we don't cry. Our good is so little, our evil is so much. Yet we ideally remember the little good and forget the wrong. So sad, so tragic. So anyway, the Prophet ﷺ was crying. I asked him, O Nabi of Allah, what makes you cry so much? Keep focus on this hadith, brothers. Whatever I will say, I'll elaborate on this one hadith. The Prophet ﷺ said, Ya Ali, laylata usriya bi ila sama. O Ali, you know the night when Allah took me to the heavens? When I ascended the heavens, سُبْحَانَ الَّذِي أَصْرَى بِعَبْدِهِ لَيْلًا مِّنَ الْمَسْجِدِ الْحَرَامِ إِلَى الْمَسْجِدِ الْأَقْصَى سُبْحَانَ الَّذِي أَصْرَى بِعَبْدِهِ لَيْلًا مِّنَ الْمَسْجِدِ الْحَرَامِ إِلَى الْمَسْجِدِ الْأَقْصَى الذي باركنا حوله لنريه من آياتنا. All praise belongs to Allah who took Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the portion of the night from Masjid al-Haram to Masjid al-Aqsa and from there onwards to the seven heavens till he came that close to Allah. ثم دنا فتدلى فكان قاب قوسين أو أدنى. On that particular night, O Ali, I was shown some woman of my ummah who have been subjected to such forms of azab that Ali, when I think of it, it makes me cry and it gives me a shiver. فَبَكَيْتُ لِمَا رَأَيْتُ مِنْ شِدَّةِ عَذَابِهِنْ. The Prophet ﷺ then started elaborating. رَأَيْتُ إِمْرَأَةً مُعَلَّقَةً بِشَعْرِهَا يَغْلِي دِمَاغُهَا. Ali, I seen one woman hung with her hair, suspended in Jahannam, and the heat was so intense, believe me, her head was boiling. وَرَأَيْتُ إِمْرَأَةً مُعَلَّقَةً بِلِسَانِهَا وَالْحَمِيمُ يُصَبُّ فِي حَلْقِهَا. And I seen a woman hung by her tongue, and the hot boiling water of Jahannam was being poured in her mouth. وَرَأَيْتُ إِمْرَأَةً مُعَلَّقَةً بِثَدِيَيْهَا. And I seen a woman hung by the upper portion of her chest. وَرَأَيْتُ إِمْرَأَةً قَدْ شُدَّتْ رِجْلَاهَا إِلَىٰ ثَدِيَيْهَا وَيَدَاهَا إِلَىٰ نَاصِيَتِهَا. And I seen a woman, Ali, what can I tell you? Her hands were tied to her chest. شُدَّتْ رِجْلَاهَا إِلَىٰ ثَدِيَيْهَا. Her legs were tied to her chest and her hands were tied to her forehead. This was in the night of Mi'raj. وَرَأَيْتُ إِمْرَأَةً رَأْسُهَا رَأْسُ خِنْزِيرٍ وَبَدَنُهَا بَدَنُ حِمَارٍ عَلَيْهَا أَلْفُ لَوْنٍ مِّنَ الْعَذَابِ. Ali, what can I tell you? Imagine what a painful heart the Prophet ﷺ must have said this year. When that man was brought forward and he was found guilty of theft. So his hands were being chopped and cut. So the Prophet ﷺ started crying. So the person withdrew and he said, O Nabi of Allah, do we stop or do I continue? The Prophet ﷺ said, no, he is guilty of theft. His hands need to be cut off. Go ahead and execute the order of Allah. So that sahabi said, O Nabi of Allah, but you are crying. Nabi alayhi salam said, I'm been his Nabi and he been my ummati. If I won't cry, who will cry? This is the order of Allah and it has to prevail. I don't have a choice in the matter, neither does he have a choice in the matter. But if I cannot cry when my ummati's hands will be chopped, who will cry? How painful was it for the Nabi? Brothers, I say, you and I have not tasted love to the level that Nabi alayhi salam had with his ummat. Hence, we cannot create a similarity to say the love that we have for our children or the love that we have for our parents. Simply because we have never tasted the love that the Nabi of Allah has for our ummati. Nor have we ever tasted the love that Sahaba had for Nabi alayhi salam. So a parable and a similitude cannot be created because we don't know love to that extent. We can relate to love that we understand, but we cannot relate to the love of Sahaba for Nabi alayhi salam because we haven't seen love like this. We don't love our beloveds like this, never mind Nabi alayhi salam like that. We don't love our beloveds like how much Sahaba loved Nabi alayhi salam. We love our beloved to the extent that after we secure our comfort, we secure theirs. After I am saturated, then priority to my beloved. Sahaba loved Nabi alayhi salam so much that they felt his hunger more than their hunger. What did that Sahabi come? Abdullah ibn Ubay bin Salul, the leader of the Munafiqeen. He comes to Nabi alayhi salam. He said, O Nabi of Allah, I heard you have intended to kill my father. His father was a staunch enemy of Islam and he had caused a lot of pain to Nabi alayhi salam. When Nabi alayhi salam came to Medina, they were about to crown him and make him the king of Medina. Nabi alayhi salam came, all focus went to Nabi alayhi salam. So his entire position went into jeopardy. He was very shrewd, so he prepared an internal movement, that subtle hatred for Islam, apparent love and inward hatred, internal hatred. He had caused a lot of pain to Nabi alayhi salam. So his son comes to Nabi alayhi salam and said, O Nabi of Allah, I heard that you intend killing my father. If what I have heard, then I only have one request. If what I have heard is correct, that you have intended killing my father, يا رسول الله بلغني أنك تريد قتل عبد الله ابن أبي فيما بلغك عنه، فإن كنت فاعلا فمرني أحمل إليك رأسه. If the matter is true, I have one request. Depute this task to me. I behead my father and put his head in your lap. Why? Now listen, when I say they had love for Nabi alayhi salam, then you understand what I'm saying. O Nabi of Allah, I am afraid, look at the vision of Sahaba. I am afraid you will respect my sentiments knowing it's my father. So obviously you will keep this hidden from me. You won't even mention it to me. You will mention it to someone else, not to offend my feelings. That person will promptly respond to kill my father, earning your pleasure, becoming beloved in your eyes and hated in my eyes, which I don't want must happen, that I hate someone you love. O Nabi of Allah, I'm afraid that man will kill my father because it's your decree. He's got no sentiments, he's a kafir. He will go and kill my father. I will now hate the man who you love. فَلَا تَدَعْنِي نَفْسِي أَنْ أَنْظُرَ إِلَىٰ قَاتِلِ عَبْدِ اللَّهِ إِبْنِ أُبَيْ يَمْشِي فِي النَّاسِ. I doubt my aspirations will allow me to see the murderer of my father walking around freely. I'm going to be captured by emotions. After all, I'm a human. And when I will be gripped by sentiments, I will murder this person. So, O Nabi of Allah, the only way out is you leave it to me, I murder my father. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, before he could respond, Allah responded through Quran. لا تجد قوما يؤمنون بالله واليوم الآخر يوادون من حاد الله ورسوله ولو كانوا آباءهم أو أبناءهم أو إخوانهم. You will not find the true friends of Allah befriend the enemies of Allah, even if those enemies happen to be their fathers, their brothers. I often say, look at the level of their iman. Look at it. Nothing became an obstacle. Today a person's got a haram sweet in his hand. You tell him, hey, that's got some haram ingredients. Oh, okay, I bought it. Next time I won't buy it. Next time, he can't drop a sweet for Allah's pleasure. He can't drop a sweet for Allah's pleasure. Oh, I bought it. I didn't know. Next time I won't buy it. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam passes by the house of a person. The riwayat in Abu Dawud, he asked, what's happening here? And symptoms of disapproval. So they said, no, he's renovating, he's plastering, he's extending. Nabi alayhi salam said, Al-amru asra'u min hada. I think Qiyamah will come before all these things will be done. So the Sahabi said, well, we just communicated the sentiments of Nabi alayhi salam to the owner of the house, that look here, we were walking by. Nabi sallallahu alayhi made an observation and he made a remark. Few days later, Nabi alayhi salam walked by, it was raised to the ground. Nabi alayhi salam said, there was some dwelling that was being developed here. What happened? They said, O Nabi of Allah, we communicated your sentiments. He said, if you're not happy, what must he do with that building? What must he do with that building? So what I'm saying is, the love that Sahaba had for Nabi alayhi salam and vice versa, we don't know love with any human like that, never mind with Nabi alayhi salam. Can you imagine the pain with which Nabi alayhi salam is mentioning this hadith? Then he says, I seen a woman, رأسها رأس خنزير وبدنها بدن حمار عليها ألف ألف لون من العذاب. Believe me, she was disfigured. She had the body of a donkey. And upon her was every form of azab that you possibly could think of. ورأيت امرأة على صورة الكلب والنار تدخل من فيها وتخرج من دبرها. And I seen a woman disfigured also, given the form and the shape of a dog. Fatima radiallahu anha became emotional and she started crying. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu started crying and then he said, O Nabi of Allah, ma kana a'malu ha'ula. What were the crimes of these women? Scholars have written that the vision and the scene that prevailed before Nabi alayhi salam was that of woman. However, the crime, if committed by man, they will face the same consequences. Fatima radiallahu anha, look at her mind. She said, O Nabi of Allah, what were these crimes so we can avoid it? Allah forgive today if it is a woman whose mind and whose thought pattern has been dominated by Western ideals. Again, she will take out an issue of gender bias here. Why women? Where were the men? Why were only women being punished? That is the pattern. It filters and it features in everything. Today, unfortunately, one young girl was speaking to her. So she says, no, I want to study. So I said, no problem, you want to study, very good. What's the reason you want to study? She says, no, my mother told me you must have a degree, so one day if your husband dumps you, at least you got some money. I said, that should never be the reason for a Muslim woman studying. Even if she studies, that is never the reason why she studies. The hadith of Nabi alayhi salam says, the manner in which you will expect, you according to your expectations from Allah, that is how Allah will deal with you. It is correct within the jurisdiction, within the parameters, it is correct for you to pursue a degree, and rightfully so. But let this not be the motivating factor behind it. O Nabi of Allah, what is the crime of these women? Nabi alayhi salam then with a heavy heart said, أَمَّا الْمُعَلَّقَةُ بِشَعْرِهَا فَإِنَّهَا كَانَتْ لَا تُغَطِّي شَعْرَهَا مِنَ الرِّجَالِ. O my Fatima, O my Ali, what can I tell you? That first woman who I seen hung in Jahannam, لو أن ثوبا من أثواب أهل النار علق بين السماء والأرض لمات جميع أهل الأرض من نتنها. If one garment from the dwellers of Jahannam has to be hung onto the sky, the foul smell that will emit from that garment will cause the instant death of every creature on this earth. O my Fatima, that first woman was hung by her hair simply because she took pride in exposing her hair to strange men. Simply because she took pride in exposing her hair to strange men. And that's not all to the woman. The Prophet ﷺ has said, a dayuth will never enter Jannah. Sahaba said, who is a dayuth, O Nabi of Allah? Nabi ﷺ said, that man who is very casual about his woman. That man who is very casual, who is not possessive over his wife. How sad this ummah has become possessive over material things. A man is possessive over his phone. That's my car, my computer, my laptop. My wife is casual. I don't know where she. I don't know where's my wife. She was somewhere around. My car he knows. My phone he knows. My laptop he knows. And his wife is casual. There are so many youngsters who are pursuing to get married and will emphatically tell you, Mawlana, I'm looking for a girl, but I don't want a girl in scarf. And there are so many sisters, Allah give hidayat, that will say, I'm looking for a good partner, but I don't want a bearded man. When the very credentials of selecting a partner is violation to Allah's commands, then how can you ever expect prosperity in that marriage? When you're telling me, I want a girl, but I want a moderate girl. I want a moderate girl and I want a moderate boy. فَإِنَّهَا كَانَتْ لَا تُغَطِّي شَعْرَهَا مِنَ الرِّجَالِ. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam asked Ali, أَيُّ شَيْءٍ خَيْرٌ لِلنِّسَىٰ. Let me ask you a question, Ali. What's the best gift you can give a woman? Ali radiallahu anhu said, O Nabi of Allah, you got me thinking. And you ask yourself, what's the best gift you can give your wife? If it wasn't live on radio, I would have shared a joke with you. But in case I insult my sister, so with utmost respect. I say this, brothers, Allah's joy and Allah's displeasure doesn't fluctuate. What pleased Allah when the Quran was revealed still pleases Allah today. What displeased Allah still displeases Allah. We are trying to please people whose joy is not known, whose displeasure is not known. So we walk in a shop to purchase an article, knowing not if this will impress my wife or depress my wife. Last time she said she liked this, then she said the color wasn't right. I don't know. I'm spending money, time and effort, knowing not if I will earn the benefits of that. There's no doubt if you get up for Fajr, well, your Allah will be pleased or not. He is pleased. Yet we still run around trying to please the creation, whose joy is not known, whose displeasure is not known. So, Nabi alayhi salam asked Ali, Ali, what is the best gift you can give a woman? Ali radiallahu anhu said, I don't know, Nabi of Allah. Ali radiallahu anhu went out. He went to Fatima radiallahu anhu and said, come, I ask you a question. Now imagine we ask this question. Before I give the answer, let every sister ask herself. If your husband is asking you, what's the best I can give you? Your father is asking you, your brother. What won't come in the mind of our sisters and every one of us? So Fatima radiallahu anhu said, the best thing for a woman is, لا يرين الرجال ولا يرونهن. The best thing is give them such an environment that no strange man cast an evil glance upon them, and they are in such a conducive environment that they are not exposed to any strange men. So Nabi Ali radiallahu anhu got happy, and he came back to Nabi alayhi salam. He said, "Oh Nabi of Allah, I got the answer for you." Nabi alayhi salam said, "What's the answer?" He said, "Oh Nabi of Allah, the best thing to give a woman, keep her in an environment where you veil her and you save her from influence of men." Nabi alayhi salam said, "Man allamaka hadha?" Who gave you this answer? So Ali radiallahu anhu said, "Fatima." Nabi alayhi salam said, "Yes, that is my Fatima. It can only be my Fatima who will speak like that. Fatima tu buz'atum minni. It can only be my Fatima. No other Fatima will say this. It can only be my Fatima to say this." You study in the throes of death. After Nabi alayhi salam passed away, Fatima radiallahu anha barely lived for 6 months. She was in the prime of her life, in her 20s. She was young. One day she attended one janaza after the death of Nabi alayhi salam, and then she wasn't very happy how the deceased was covered. So she called Asma radiallahu anha and she said, "Asma, listen, I'm very worried the day I pass away, and I'm making you in charge." Then she broke few branches from a tree and she made a coffin and she covered it. And she said, "Asma, I make you in charge. When I go, you cover me totally. My entire body must be wrapped up. I don't want any strange man to look at the cloth, never mind my body." In one riwayat I read myself, Nabi alayhi salam said, when humanity will congregate before Allah and Fatima bint Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam will stand up, then one announcer will announce, "Oh people, lower your gaze, Fatima wants to walk." Everybody will drop their gaze, then Fatima bint Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam will cross. "Amma al-mu'allaqatu bi sha'riha fa innaha kanat la tughatti sha'raha." "Oh Ali, oh Fatima, the first woman hanging in Jahannam, which I was shown on the night of Mi'raj, she openly fleshed her hair before strange men." As men, we have been told to lower our gaze. Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu says, "Dakhaltu ala Uthman ibn Affan, waqad ra'aytu imra'atan fi at-tariq min ghayri qasdin." I was coming to attend the gathering of Uthman ibn Affan, and on the way, unintentionally, my gaze fell on a strange woman. And as I walked into the gathering, Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu anhu said, "Yadkhulu ahadukum wa atharu zina bayna aynayhi." Some of you are making a presence in this gathering when the signs of zina are vivid on their eyes. So Anas ibn Malik said, "Awahyun ba'da Rasulillah sallallahu alayhi wasallam?" Are the doors of revelation still open? Are the doors of revelation still open? So Uthman ibn Affan said, "No, it's not revelation through which I've realized this. Walakin firasatun sadiqah. It is the inspiration in the heart of a believer by virtue of which I've identified this here." So really, that is the first point that we take to heart. The pride of a woman is in covering herself. وَأَمَّا الَّتِي مُعَلَّقَةً بِلِسَانِهَا فَإِنَّهَا كَانَتْ تُؤْذِي زَوْجَهَا. The second woman who was hung by her tongue in Jahannam was because she was guilty of verbally abusing her husband. Constantly abusing. Now again, there are many cases where it is reversed, where the woman is a victim of abuse and the man is the victor. So whoever has perpetrated the crime, this is the consequences. The Prophet ﷺ gave that sahabi three advices: "Amlik alayka lisanak," look after your tongue, cry over your sins and stay indoors. Look after your tongue, cry over your sins and stay indoors. And Nabi ﷺ told Ubadah ibn Samit, "Alayka bis samt, فَإِنَّهُ مَطْرَدَةٌ لِلشَّيْطَانِ وَعَوْنٌ لَكَ عَلَىٰ أَمْرِ دِينِكَ." Oh Ubadah, try and observe silence. This will enable you to accomplish your spiritual objectives. You know, you have aspirations to obey Allah and you have goals. You want to put those goals into practice. You want to implement it. Try and make silence a common practice and Allah will give you the strength to implement your good intentions. You want to derive strength to accomplish, this is where it lies. There is a beautiful incident I was reading about the fusaha amongst women. Women who were very eloquent. and who were very conscious of their speech. We don't realize what we say. One person came to Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu and he insulted Abu Bakr. Subhanallah. Who was Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu? Look at how Abu Bakr responded. He told him, you know, a mouthful, you like this, you like that. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu said, if I am like what you said, may Allah forgive me. And if I am not like what you said, may Allah forgive you. If I am like what you said, then may Allah forgive me. And if I am not that, may Allah forgive you. That is, you've accused me for something I am not guilty of. When I read this, I cried. I literally cried. And I said, if somebody has to come and tell us something that we are not innocent, we are guilty of. We are guilty of it, and he tells us. How would we respond? And Abu Bakr said, if I have done it, may Allah forgive me. And if I haven't done it, may Allah forgive you. So anyway, Abdullah ibn Mubarak, rahmatullahi, says, kharajtu hajjan. I came out for hajj. Ziyarati baytillahi al-haram. To see the house of Allah. Wa ziyarati qabrihi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And after returning from hajj, in a distance, I seen one elderly person. So as I drew close, I seen it was a woman. So I greeted her and I said, assalamu alaykum. So she said, salamun qawlam min rabbir rahim. That peace be upon you, which is a verse Allah speaks about it upon the dwellers of Jannah. So I asked her, you know, she answered, I asked her, ماذا تصنعين في هذا المكان? Oh sister, what are you doing here? صلى الله فنا هادي الله. The one whom Allah misleads, there's none to guide. فعلمت أنها ضالة. So I got the message, she's astray, she's lost the road. So I asked her, أين تريدين? Where do you intend going? So she said, سبحان الذي أسرى بعبده ليلا من المسجد الحرام إلى المسجد الأقصى. All praise belongs to Allah who took Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam from Masjid al-Haram to Masjid al-Aqsa. So I understood her hajj was over, she's going back to Masjid al-Aqsa.
Beware of fraudulent copies of this and other media products. Fraudulent copies prevent and destroy the possibility of future productions. Help us to continue providing you with digital media products. Buy a genuine copy.
For all your CD needs, contact Simtek Islamic CDs 082-500-9111. Simtek Islamic CDs, manufacturers and distributors of Islamic audio and media CDs.
So I asked her, how long are you here, sister? She says, ثلاثة ليالٍ سوية. I've been here for, there's all verses of the Quran and each one elaborates in its own way. I've been here for the last 3 days. I told her, oh sister, you don't have any food, what do you eat? So she says, هو يطعمني ويسقين. Allah feeds me and Allah gives me water. So then I asked her, how do you make wuzu? You don't have water. فَإِن لَمْ تَجِدُوا مَاءً فَتَيَمَّمُوا صَعِيدًا. That if you don't have water, you make tayammum. So I said, you know what sister, I have some food, you want to join me? She says, ثُمَّ أَتِمُّ الصِّيَامَ إِلَى اللَّيْلِ. Allah says, complete your fast till the evening. So I understood she was fasting. So I told her, but it is not Ramadan, why are you fasting? So she recited the verse, وَأَنْتَ صُومُوا خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تَعْلَمُونَ. But if you fast, it's obviously Allah will reward you. So I told her, you don't want to talk like how we talk in policemen, I'm trying to talk to you. So she said, مَا يَلْفِذُ مِنْ قَوْلٍ إِلَّا لَدَيْهِ رَقِيبٌ عَتِيدٌ. Allah says, you are worried of the cameras on the road. Remember, I also have cameras monitoring every action of yours. You have cameras on the road. You are watching about this person watching you and targeting you, and you are worried about that. مَا يَلْفِذُ مِنْ قَوْلٍ إِلَّا لَدَيْهِ رَقِيبٌ عَتِيدٌ. Take care of this tongue. That second woman hanging in Jahannam because of abusing her tongue. One person says, Yahya ibn Kathir says, one person mounted onto a conveyance. And as he was riding, the foot of the animal slipped, so he fell. So he said, تعس الحمار, the silly animal. So when he said, the silly animal, the angels recording good and bad started arguing. فَقَالَ صَاحِبُ الْيَمِينَ مَا هِيَ حَسَنَةٌ أَكْتُبُهَا وَقَالَ صَاحِبُ الشِّمَالِ مَا هِيَ سَيِّئَةٌ أَكْتُبُهَا. The angel recording good said, well, silly animal, I can't classify it as virtue, so I won't put it on his noble deeds. The angel recording evil said, well, it's not a pleasant statement, but I doubt it's a sin either. So I'm also not going to record it. So nobody wants to record it. فَأَوْحَ اللَّهُ إِلَىٰ صَاحِبِ الشِّمَالِ. Allah inspired the angel that writes down the evil.
And Allah said, the screening and the grading process will be done by the angel that records good. If he doesn't classify it as good, it will be recorded in his evil deeds. If he does not classify it as noble, now how many statements we blur throughout the day, which we consider meaningless, and we consider what is so wrong about it. Nabi alayhi salam says, many a times a person utters a statement, and then he justifies his wrong, as I previously said in my opening comments. What does he say? لا يرى بها بأسا. إن العبد لا يتكلم بالكلمة من سخط الله لا يرى بها بأسا. He utters it, it earns the displeasure of Allah, but he himself, he soothes himself and he says, no, I don't think it was wrong. It was about time he stole. These are the comments he makes to justify and soothe himself. Nabi alayhi salam says, that's his opinion. But in the eyes of Allah, يَزِلُّ بِهَا فِي نَارِ جَهَنَّمْ أَبْعَدَ مَا بَيْنَ الْمَشْرِقِ وَالْمَغْرِبِ. That statement drops him in the depth of Jahannam, the distance more than between the east and the west. So anyway, I asked that sister, can I take you to your destination? So she says, وَمَا تَفْعَلُوا مِنْ خَيْرٍ يَعْلَمُهُ اللَّهِ. Whatever good you do, Allah will reward you. So as I put the animal down, she said, قُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَغُضُّوا مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِمْ وَيَحْفَظُوا فُرُوجَهُمْ. Tell the believers to lower their gaze. So she said, I put the camel down and she sat down. And she was still sitting. I had not tied the camel, so the camel started running and it tore her dress. So she said, وَمَا أَصَابَكُمْ مِنْ مُصِيبَةٍ فَبِمَا كَسَبَتْ أَيْدِيكُمْ. Whatever evil comes your way is as a result of what you do. On this year, a thought comes to mind. Sometimes when our day is going wrong, then we say, I think today I did something wrong. These are the common statements. I wonder what I did. Now, I always mention on this year, my brother, it's not today you did something wrong. Actually, you did something wrong every day. The Quran says, Allah took you to task of your wrong today only. Don't consider your wrong in proportion to your difficulties. The Quran says you do wrong all the time. Majority I overlook, sometimes I take you to task. So it's not the one day when you met up in an accident and you knocked your head and business is not right and you say, hey, something is not right today. No, something is not right every day. The Quran says, مَا أَصَابَكُم مِّن مُصِيبَةٍ فَبِمَا كَسَبَتْ أَيْدِيكُمْ وَيَعْفُوا عَنْ كَثِيرٍ. Allah says, most of it I overlook. Sometimes I take you to task. Don't be foolish to consider your wrong proportionate to the challenges. So anyway, I told her, okay, sister, wait, let me tie it properly. So I tied the camel properly. So she said, فَفَهَّمْنَاهَا سُلَيْمَانَ فَفَهَّمْنَاهَا سُلَيْمَانَ وَكُلًّا آتَيْنَا حُكْمًا وَعِلْمًا. As she mounted and we started riding, Abdullah ibn Mubarak said, let me find out, this woman is very pious. The question that he asked later, and obviously he was a pious man, we would have asked first. He asked, are you married, sister? Alaka zawj? Are you married, alaki zawj? Obviously he was a pious man. Just to find out who she was. So she answered, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, la tas'alu an ashya'a in tubda lakum tasu'kum. O you who believe, don't ask questions. When you will be told the answer, you won't like it. Rather, don't ask. So I kept quiet. Anyway, as we started writing, she read, Subhanalladhi sakhara lana hadha wa ma kunna. Only Quran. Subhanalladhi sakhara lana hadha wa ma. Imagine a woman whose day is Quran and then she presents a platter of food before you. Lazawjatun muti'atun aynuka anha radiya. وطفلة صغيرة محفوفة بالعافية وغرفة نظيفة نفسك فيها هانية ولقمة لذيذة من يد أغلى طاهية خير من الساعات في ذل القصور العالية. The poet says, لزوجة مطيعة, an obedient wife. عينك عنها راضية, which brings joy to your eye. They say this wife was looking at the nikah certificate for a very long time. So the husband asked her, what's it, my dear? She says, no, man, I'm looking for the expiry date. I'm looking for the expiry date on this nikah certificate. لَزَوْجُكَ لَزَوْجَةٌ مُطِيعَةٌ. That obedient wife, عَيْنُكَ عَنْهَا رَاضِيَةٌ. When you look at her, it brings joy to you. وَطِفْلَةٌ صَغِيرَةٌ مَحْفُوفَةٌ بِالْعَافِيَةٌ. Now to the Western world, they want, when a stranger looks at her, he becomes happy. This is the contentious issue. Islam says, let your husband look at you and become happy. And the Western world says, let the entire world look at you and become happy. And hence we have a clash of civilization. Hence we have a clash. You study. Study the Western civilization and an Islamic culture. The very key difference between the two civilizations is two components, two factors. Islamic culture is based on modesty and simplicity. This is the basis of Islam. Now you can study the whole Quran and Hadith, it revolves around this here. Let them be modest and let them be simple, then they are in Islam. And study a Western culture, let them be immoral and let them be extravagant. That is the direct opposite. So you have a function, let it be lavish and let it be immoral. Now you can study the whole Quran and Hadith has been summarized in this year. It's based on these two things, simplicity and morality. If there's morality and simplicity. So anyway, we resume. As we are traveling, we come close to a caravan. So I asked her, I point to the caravan and I asked, do you have any family members in this caravan? Is this the caravan of yours with whom you were traveling? So she says, Al-Malu wal-Banuna zinatul hayatid dunya. So I realized that she has sons there. So I asked her, you know, what are your sons' names? She says, وَاتَّخَذَ اللَّهُ إِبْرَاهِيمَ خَلِيلًا وَكَلَّمَ اللَّهُ مُوسَى تَكْلِيمًا يَا يَحْيَا خُذِ الْكِتَابَ بِقُوَّةٍ. Again, brothers, let me seize the opportunity. She spoke Quran and she gave her children names that were in Quran. Today people are asking names, never mind Quran, even the Arabic dictionary doesn't have it. Believe me, even the Arabic dictionary doesn't have it. And I cannot tell you, I am inundated with calls. What did Zubair ibn Awam say? Inna Talhata ibn Zubair, yusammi banihi bi asma'il anbiya, wa qad alima alla nabiyya ba'da Muhammad, wa inni lausammi baniya bi asma'il shuhada la'allahum yastashhadun. What did he say? Zubair ibn Awam said, my friend, my colleague, Inna Talhata ibn Ubaidullah, my colleague is naming his son after the names of martyrs, which I respect, knowing very well that there will be no Nabi after Nabi alayhi salam. But I'm going to name my children after the names of martyrs, simply so that I can create a resemblance between the newborn and a martyr by giving him the same name. With the hope that my child will also grow up and Allah will privilege him with martyrdom. That was the motivation behind naming his children. Today you hear, and again pressure, the wife is saying it's got to rhyme. And then, we got a Fatima in the house. We got the Aisha in the house. We got this one in the family. But when it comes to other things, then it doesn't mind. Then we duplicate it. Each one must have their own. We got one devil box in the house is not enough. Each one must have their own. But one Fatima in the house is enough. Hi, if you only knew who Fatima was to my Nabi, you would have named your every daughter and your every granddaughter. If you only knew who Aisha was to my Nabi, you would have named every woman in your family Aisha. You wouldn't have suffered a stigma. So as these children come running, she says, فَبَعَثُوا أَحَدَكُمْ بِوَرِقِكُمْ هَذِهِ إِلَى الْمَدِينَةِ. Take this money and go to the town and bring something. So they bring the food and they present it before Abdullah ibn Mubarak. So she tells Abdullah ibn Mubarak, كُلُوا وَشْرَبُوا هَنِيًا بِمَا أَسْلَفْتُمْ فِي الْأَيَّامِ الْخَالِيَةِ. Eat and enjoy the food that Allah has given you. Abdullah ibn Mubarak says, no, now it's too much. I need to understand, what is the secret of this woman? He gathers those three children, he said, tell me, who is this woman and what is the story? So they said, هَذِهِ أُمُّنَا. This is our mother. مُنْذُ أَرْبَعِين سَنَة. For the last 40 years, she's uttered nothing other than Quran. For the last 40 years, simply out of the fear that if she utters anything else, it can become the means of earning the wrath of Allah. She hasn't uttered any other statement, offended, and she only speaks Quran. And she communicates her message through Quran. So who was that second woman? hung in Jahannam, mu'allaqatan bilisaniha, fa innaha kanat tu'zi zawjaha. Why she was guilty of verbal abuse. The third person, Nabi alayhi salam says, I seen, wa amma allati mu'allaqatan bithadiyaiha, fa innaha kanat tafsudu firash zawjaha. The woman who was hung by her chest, she was an immoral, unchaste woman. And she had betrayed the integrity of her husband. She was outgoing. The riwayat of Bukhari, Allahu Akbar. When Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam comes into Egypt, and there was a tyrant ruler, and he was told that Ibrahim is traveling with a woman who is very beautiful. And any person traveling with his wife, he would abduct the woman and satisfy his lust. And that is what the world has made the woman today, to satisfy their lust. And that is all what it entails, how they've degraded the woman. Look at the integrity of this woman, and look at the divine intervention for the safeguard and the preservation of the chastity of this woman, when that is her vision. The riwayat of Bukhari, she performs 2 rakat salah. She makes wudu, she performs 2 rakat salah. She said, Allahumma, inni ahsantu farji illa ala zawji. Allah, you know very well, I have lived a very chaste and an upright life. And I haven't given any male access to myself other than my husband. فَلَا تُسَلِّتْ عَلَيَّ هَذَا الْكَافِرِ. Allah, I'm not going to allow you to let this kafir touch me with his evil hands. Look at this woman, how she spoke to Allah. Allah, you know I've only given access to my husband. Allah, I'm not going to let not this man touch me. And any woman that would come, he would abduct her and satisfy himself. So as Sarah, the wife of Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, went in, this man with his evil nature stretched his hand. As he stretched his hand towards Sarah, the hadith of Bukhari says his hand became paralyzed. His hand became paralyzed. He apologized and he withdraws his hand. Again he is provoked by his ego, again he stretches. Again his hand, on 3 instances it becomes paralyzed. On 3 instances, Nabi alayhi salam seen one person eating with his left hand. Nabi alayhi salam told him politely, "Kul bi yaminik." My brother, eat with your right hand. He said, "I don't feel like." That is the moralist translation. La astati'u, I cannot. I don't want to. And the hadith says, "Ma mana'ahu illa al-kibr." The only reason why he didn't want to do it was out of pride. You know, today we tell many youngsters, "My brother, off that music, it's the masjid. I don't feel like." Those are the attitudes. Nabi alayhi salam says, "You don't feel like, lastata'ta. My curse is on you, may Allah paralyze that hand." The riwayat says from that day onwards, he could never move that hand till the day he died. He could never lift his hand. Allah literally then veiled them. So anyway, this woman, look at her integrity. On the 3rd instance, this man makes tawbah. He makes tawbah and he says, "Forgive me." And that is when he gave a hajara to Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, that became a gift to Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, and then became the mother of the Arabs. So the 3rd woman, tafsudu firash zawjiha, when the daughter of Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam came to call Sayyidina Musa, the daughter of Shuaib alayhi salam came to call Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam. The Quran speaks about this here. And this is a very important thing. We often hear this, that sometimes women have to communicate. We are living in a world, it's a commercial world. Interaction takes place. Yes, undoubtedly it happens, and there are certain occasions. But look at the manner in which the Quran explains. Here a strange woman is speaking to a stranger. Later to only know that she becomes the wife. The stranger being Musa alayhi salam, the strange woman being the daughter of Shuaib alayhi salam. But the Quran quotes the reaction and the walk of this woman. فَجَاءَتُ إِحْدَاهُمَا تَمْشِي عَلَى اسْتِحْيَاءَ. The Quran says she came in such a modest way that as if she was walking on modesty. In the riwayat of Ibn Kathir, Umar radiallahu anhu commentating on this ayat used to say, قَائِلَةً بِثَوْبِهَا عَلَى وَجْهِهَا لَيْسَتْ بِسَلَفَعٍ مِّنَ النِّسَاءِ دَلَاجَةً وَلَاجَةً خَرَاجَةً. She came totally modest, covering her face, not like that outgoing, vocal, outspoken you know, chanting this slogan and that slogan. That type of woman, very modest, very polite, toning down. She came and she said, "Oh stranger, inna abi yad'uka liyajziyaka ajra ma saqayta lana." My father is calling you, he wants to talk with you. Now look at the piety of a Nabi. He was tired, he was hungry 8 days away, but he tells the daughter of Shuayb alayhi salam, "Do me a favor, walk behind me. Walk behind me, and from the back you can tell me which way to walk." If it was us, we know what we would have done. Allah forgive us. Sayyidina Luqman told his son, "Ya bunayya imshi wara al-asad wa la tamshi wara al-mar'a." Oh my son, if you have to walk, walk behind a lion, but don't walk behind a woman. You know your weakness, don't jeopardize it more. So that was the condition of that. Allah bring morality into our lives. Allah bring integrity. Allah bring faithfulness in husband and wife. Loyalty and faithfulness between husband and wife. The fourth woman, وَأَمَّا الَّتِي رَأْسُهَا رَأْسُ خِنْزِيرٍ وَبَدَنُهَا بَدَنُ حِمَارٍ عَلَيْهَا أَلْفُ لَوْنٍ مِّنَ الْعَذَابِ. Oh Ali, that fourth woman whom I seen, who was disfigured and upon whom came severe forms of azab. فَإِنَّهَا كَانَتْ لَا تُنَظِّفُ بَدَنَهَا مِنَ الْحَيْذِ وَالْجَنَابَةِ وَتَسْتَهْزِئُ بِالصَّلَاةِ. I'm afraid this woman was very negligent when it came to taking her ghusl, when it came to performing salah. She used to delay her namaz. We know the ruling that if there's 10 minutes before sunset a woman becomes parked, then that asr namaz becomes compulsory on that woman. Now the woman ideally delayed to the next day 12 o'clock and they start her namaz from zohar. Asr, maghrib, isha gone. It comes in the riwayat that the woman amongst the sahabiyat, I read this riwayat, in the night they used to get up. They used to keep a lantern on the side, whatever, light, something, and then they used to get up at midnight to make sure have they become pak or not. If they have become pure, then Isha is faraz on them. Today we have all the comforts, we have an ensuite, we have a shower, everything found, yet so many namazes are neglected in this way. وَتَسْتَهْزِئُ بِالصَّلَاةِ. And she used to neglect her salah. And the same thing goes about fasting. So much fasting is missed in this regard. Allah has been kind to a woman that Allah has made it her Ramadan does not terminate at the sighting of the crescent of Shawwal. Because she's got divine concession. There are few days in the month of Ramadan where she enjoys the privilege and the virtue of Ramadan without the fast of Ramadan. When she makes the qaza after Ramadan, for her it's still the same reward of Ramadan, and hence it's the spirit and the blessing of Ramadan. But you will be astounded to know how many sisters have years of qaza. I was a month ago in Australia. We flew from Perth to Sydney, had some programs there, and from there onwards to Brisbane. So when I was in Sydney, I just stopped there for one day, had about 2-3 programs and onward flight. We had the basic snacks at one brother's place. So when we got there, I asked them, "What's the program?" They said, no, this brother is fasting who has invited you. So the meals will be after the program. So I said, no problem, whatever it is. Anyway, after the meals were over, I asked the brother, mashallah, who's this brother? And you know, what was the fast? He was an Australian revert, white Australian boy. Met with him, he gave us a good time, he entertained us. I asked, you know, what was the fast? What fast was he keeping? So the brother tapped me, he says, "Maulana, I will tell you afterwards." After the program was over, he said, "Come, I tell you what. This young Australian must be in his 20s. Wonderful brother. Staying adjacent to the masjid. When he accepted Islam, for the first 3 years, he found it very difficult to fast. So he had qaza of 3 years fast. And then Allah gave him hidayat and he changed his life. So now he's keeping the qaza of those 3 years and he's finishing his 90th roza today. It brought such tears to my eyes that here you find a revert Australian. This is the condition. This is how he is fasting. Conscious of the fast that he has missed. That his obligation to Allah. And how many of our sisters that have fasted for years? تَسْتَهْزِئُ بِالصَّلَاةِ. And this woman used to mock namaz. I will not forget a sight that caused me so much pain in my life. I was a little child. When I say a little child, I'm saying a good 20 years ago. I was working at one little shop outside. And two young Muslim boys walked by. And there was the azan went. To be precise, it was the azan of Jamia Masjid. And there was a non-Muslim girl standing by there. These boys were trying to flirt or whatever, Allah knows best. So she even made a comment. And she says, oh, there, I think there goes your prayer. Why don't you go? So I was a child, I couldn't fully understand. But the statement those boys made, Allah be my witness, I can still cry for it now. They said, no, no, that man sings. We only listen to him Friday. Otherwise, we don't bother about him. وَتَسْتَهْزِئُ بِالصَّلَاةِ You read the Quran, what Allah says. فَوَيْلٌ لِلْمُصَلِّينَ فَوَيْلٌ لِلْمُصَلِّينَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنْ صَلَاتِهِمْ سَاهُونَ Go and study the commentary of this verse. Your hair will stand on ends. Woe be to those who perform namaz. Not those who don't perform. Woe be to those who perform namaz. But in a particular way. Who? فَوَيْلٌ لِلْمُصَلِّينَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنْ صَلَاتِهِمْ سَاهُونَ Those who are negligent, those who are heedless, those who are oblivious. And then you go and see how commentators explain sahoon. At times they focus, at times they don't focus. At times they perform with concentration, at times not. You take women, unfortunately, sometimes they read in it in the awal time, sometimes they read in it qaza time, never on time, either before or after. فَوَيْلٌ لِلْمُصَلِّينَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنْ صَلَاتِهِمْ سَاهُونَ When the kuffar will be asked, what made you end up in Jahannam? Brothers, we want to talk on Mi'raj. There cannot be a greater lesson from Mi'raj than Salah. There cannot be, in my understanding, anything greater than Salah. When the kuffar will be asked, مَا سَلَكَكُمْ فِي سَقَرْ What made you end up in Jahannam? The first thing they will say is, we didn't perform Salah. قَالُوا لَمْ نَكُ مِنَ الْمُصَلِّينَ قَالُوا لَمْ نَكُ مِنَ الْمُصَلِّينَ There was no Salah in our lives. And then they will speak about all the other evils. Through the barakat of salah, Allah has done everything. Allah communicates with Musa alayhi salam. Imagine Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam gets revelation. Allah barely introduces himself to Musa. Inni ana Allah, la ilaha illa ana fa'budni wa aqimis salah. Allah says, I am one, there's no deity besides me, establish salah. Allah told Nabi alayhi salam, they accused Nabi alayhi salam and they made nasty comments about Nabi alayhi salam. They said, you are an abtar. Abtar means an animal, the tail of which has been severed. Meaning you have no male offspring, so your name won't prosper. This was the nasty comment they made to Nabi alayhi salam. You have no male children to take your name forward. You are abtar, an animal whose tail is cut off. Who will remember you in the world? Those were the nasty comments. And today also it is said, brothers, that many of us are very insensitive to the sensitivity of people. Some people will come, oh, you're still not married. You know, just blatantly make these comments. You're still battling with this car. You still don't have a child. You still don't have this. As if it is in his, how insensitive can we be to the sensitivity of people? Allah then revealed the verse, Inna atainaka al-kawthar. In Bahriyam Muhid, there is 26 explanations to the word Kawthar. Then Allah told Nabi alayhi salam, فَصَلِّ لِرَبِّكَ O Nabi of Allah, you perform salah. You perform salah. That is what you have to do, and we will take care of your enemies. إِنَّا كَفَيْنَاكَ الْمُسْتَهْزِئِينَ إِنَّا كَفَيْنَاكَ الْمُسْتَهْزِئِينَ الَّذِينَ يَجْعَلُونَ مَعَ اللَّهِ إِلَهًا آخَرٍ You perform salah, and we will personally deal with all those that mock at you. And in the tafsir there is written there were five kuffar under the commentary of this ayat. And in a very strange way Allah then caused the death of every one of them. So the greatest lesson that we can take is salah. Imagine brothers, you know they say you are on the hit list. You better be careful, you are on the hit list. In the hadith of Bukhari, Nabi alayhi salam said, it is the desire of my heart to burn the house of that man who performs his salah at home. Can you imagine a man who was an embodiment of compassion, from whose every action was kindness and mercy. Yet how many Muslim homes are on the burn list of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? In the course of this year, I had the opportunity to go to Indonesia. The hadith of Bukhari says, "Man fatathu salatu al-asri, fakannama wutira ahluhu wa maluhu." We have not appreciated the similitude and the example that Nabi alayhi salam has given, and to whom Nabi alayhi salam has likened the loss. Nabi alayhi salam said, "A person who misses asr namaz, for that instance, or any namaz, it is as if he lost all his family and all his possession." Now, when we went into Indonesia, and I went literally to Banda Aceh, which was the prime area of the devastation, and I don't want to elaborate, it's a talk of its own. But we've seen people who lost their family, who lost their belongings, people that were sitting at the side and, you know, under beneath a capsized ship, they made a little shack and they started living there. People who just on the land where once upon a time their house existed, they pitched up a small tent and they started staying there, lost their family, lost their belongings. At that time, this hadith of Bukhari came in my mind, that the Nabi of Allah said, if you miss one namaz, your loss is worse than this man. Where I visualized and I literally seen the man, and I couldn't fully comprehend his pain because I was not experiencing it. But somehow I could identify to his pain because I seen it. But imagine the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, فَكَأَنَّمَا وُتِرَ أَهْلُهُ وَمَالُهُ, that if you miss one namaz, you've lost everything. So what happens to this fat woman? She used to mock at salah. She used to delay namaz. She was unmindful of her namaz. We come towards the end of the hadith. The fifth woman, وَأَمَّا الَّتِي رَأْسُهَا رَأْسُ خِنْزِيرٍ وَبَدَنُهَا بَدَنُ حِمَارٍ عَلَيْهَا أَلْفُ لَوْنٍ مِّنَ الْعَذَابِ فَإِنَّهَا كَانَتْ مَنَّانَةٌ حَسَّادَةٌ. The fifth woman, who was disfigured and had the body of a mule, because of two wrongs. Number one, mannanatun hassada, because she had the evil habit of destroying her good by reminders of her generosity. So she used to do good, but she constantly harped about it. I did so much for this family, I did so much for my in-laws, I did so much for this. Constantly she destroyed her good. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu la tubtilu sadaqatikum bil manni wal adha. Oh, you who believe, don't destroy your good by reminders of generosity. Don't destroy it. Nabi alayhi salam says, three people Allah will not speak to. One is Mannan, who does good and speaks about it. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu said, don't forget the kindness that is shown to you, and don't ever remember the kindness you show to others. Don't remember the kindness you show to others. Mannanatun, hassada. And the other quality is, she was very jealous. Brothers, today, what a tragedy amongst us. That while we have our external enemies, you know, I often say that when your enemy insults you, you don't have a problem. When I'm walking in a Western country, and a disbeliever insults my beard, I don't take offense to it. Because he never claimed to say Muhammad was the greatest human, hence he doesn't believe in the life of Nabi alayhi salam. But when the so-called Muslim who chants the slogans that Muhammad was the greatest human and wants to echo the sentiments, our Prophet, our Nabi, our Quran, yet he suffers a complex of identity and he gives me fleck with my beard, I have a major problem. When the kafir hates us, then that is what is expected. But when there's internal amongst ourselves, which has weakened us, which has shattered our strength, which has destroyed our power, the Quran says that before the dwellers of Jannah will enter into Jannah, وَنَزَعْنَا مَا فِي صُدُورِهِمْ مِنْ غِلٍّ إِخْوَانًا, Allah says He will remove all the jealousy from the heart. And as a result of that, they will become brothers and then they will enter into Jannah. And then they will see one another in a higher abode in Jannah, but they will not envy. They will not be jealous. Now the Quran says when the jealousy will be removed, then only they will become brothers. Believe me, when jealousy is removed, then strangers become brothers. And when jealousy remains, then brothers become strangers. Brothers become strangers. Someone seen Imam Ismail rahmatullah alayhi, seen a villager. Young, you know, seen an elderly man, but in good health, in good spirit. His age was over 100, 120. So he asked him, what's the formula? Today they'll make money out of it. They'll take that old man, after he dies, dissect his body, take his skin, do this anatomy and that anatomy, do some skin test, do get a dermatologist, and they'll make money out of it. They asked this man, what is the secret to your age? He said, Taraktu al-hasada fabaqitu. My heart doesn't harbor jealousy for anyone. Believe me, Allah gave me divine good health. I don't know what is sickness. One thing I can tell you, in my heart there's no evil feelings. As a result of that, I don't know what is sickness. Obviously, there are medical connotations to our health, but there are also spiritual implications. One sahabi said, إِذَا رَأَيْتَ قَصَاوَةً فِي قَلْبِكَ وَوَهْنًا فِي بَدَنِكَ وَحِرْمَانًا فِي رِزْقِكَ فَعْلَمْ أَنَّكَ قَدْ تَكَلَّمْتَ بِمَا لَا يَعْنِيكَ. إِذَا رَأَيْتَ قَصَاوَةً فِي قَلْبِكَ, when you see your heart has become hard, وَحِرْمَانًا فِي رِزْقِكَ, and you find business is bad. Now that might, you know, spark some interest. وَهْنًا فِي بَدَنِكَ, and you find you becoming weak, and you know, you think your sugar is too high, and you becoming lazy, then rest assured, on a physical note, there might be 10 reasons. On a spiritual note, you've been blurting a lot of nonsense, that is the result of what you've seen. On a physical note, you can analyze it and critically analyze it, maybe this is not right, that is not right. But on a spiritual note, if you want to grade yourself and look at this and that, then these are the options to look at. You are not taking care of your tongue. So clean the heart. Mannanatun hassada. I marvel at Sayyidatina Sauda radiallahu anha, who came to Nabi alayhi salam and said, O Nabi of Allah, you've divorced me. Have I offended you? Nabi alayhi salam said, no. He said, okay, O Nabi of Allah, do me a favor. Don't divorce me. Keep me in your nikah. And on my night, you can go and visit your other wife, Aisha. Now look at her cleanliness. The Nabi of Allah was about to divorce her. But because of her cleanliness, she scored on this point here. That she said, O Nabi of Allah, I have passed the age, I don't need a man. You can visit your other wife, and I will free you of the obligation of meeting me. By virtue of the cleanliness of her heart, she remained the wife of Nabi alayhi salam. And she remained the mother of the ummah. And she will stand up as the consort of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on the day of Qiyamah. If she allowed her jealousy to dominate, then maybe she would justify and argue and say this and that. But then this privilege will be snatched. But how far her vision was, how matured her sight was, how broad her shoulders were. Wallah, we salute her. May Allah shower His choicest blessings upon her. What a clean heart. As Muslims, we were supposed to be a nation who desire good for others. Allah forgive, we have fallen so low, we can't see good happening to others, never mind desire it for them. Ponder over what I have said. We were supposed to make good happen for others. That is impossible and that is far-fetched. When good comes to others via other channels, even that we can't handle. Even that becomes a bitter pill. And when that day will come, when a good proposal comes to my daughter, and I will refer that boy to another man, you will see the son, the boys Allah will send to your house. You will see who Allah will send to your house. Then Allah brought Musa to the house of Shu'aib. Allah brought him to the house of Shu'aib alayhi salam. The daughter said, oh my father, why don't you employ this man? He looks like a good laborer. The father said, why employ? Rather let me make him my son-in-law. Allah brought that. And the last woman, وَأَمَّا الَّتِي عَلَى سُورَةِ الْكَلْبِ فَإِنَّهَا كَانَتْ نَمَّامَةٌ كَذَّابَ. The last woman that was in the form which I seen in the journey of Mi'raj. We only spoke on one hadith, brothers. In the journey of Mi'raj, only one hadith. You open the books of hadith and you'll see many. The woman who was changed into the form of a dog, and the different forms of azab that came upon her. She had two crimes, and this is common to any person. فَإِنَّهَا كَانَتْ نَمَّامَةٌ كَذَّابَ. She used to carry tales. She used to carry tales, and she was a liar. وَلَا تُطِعْ كُلَّ حَلَّافٍ مَهِينٍ Hammazim Masha'im Binamim, one who carries tales, just to create fitna, just to disrupt, just to disunite, to create fitna between two people. Abdurrahman ibn Auf radiallahu anhu comes to Nabi alayhi salam and he says, O Nabi of Allah, Khalid ibn Walid is always interfering with me. So Nabi alayhi salam called Khalid and he said, Khalid, don't interfere with Abdurrahman ibn Auf because he participated in Badr. So Khalid said, O Nabi of Allah, you heard what Abdurrahman said, but you know what? Actually, he always interferes with me. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, O Abdurrahman ibn Auf, don't interfere with Khalid. Allah has referred to Khalid as his sword. Nabi alayhi salam made each one conscious of the virtue of the other. Look at measures to narrow the gap and not widen the gap. Look at things that will bridge and not widen. Nammamatun, the one that carries tails. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, passed by the grave of two people, he said, these two are suffering and they have not committed a major crime. Nay, it is major, but they trivialized it. وَمَا يُعَذَّبَانِ فِي كَبِيرٍ بَلَا إِنَّهُ كَبِيرٌ أَمَّا أَحَدُهُمَا فَكَانَ يَمْشِي بِالنَّمِيمَةِ. One of them had the evil habit of carrying tales. The ulama have written carrying tales amongst pleasureless sins. There is a kitab written on sins in which there is no pleasure. As a matter of fact, there is no pleasure in any sin. But there are certain sins that give you fake pleasure. But some sins don't even give you fake pleasure. For example, carrying tails. What pleasure do you get? A man might say, looking at a woman is getting pleasure. Listening to music is getting pleasure. Carrying tails is pleasureless sins, yet the guna is so severe. Carrying tails, backbiting. In one riwayat it comes, one person will present before Allah, his book of deeds will be presented. Allah will ask him, is adhalamaka katabati al-hafidun? Has my angels oppressed you? They will say, no, O Allah. Allah will ask him, every good you did is recorded. He will say, no, Allah, there's some good deed that I did, but it's not recorded. Umama radiallahu anhu is the narrator of the hadith. There's some good deeds I did, but I don't find it recorded. Allah will say, yes, you are right, I erased it because of your ghibat. You are right, you are correct, I erased it because of the sin. So the six women were suffering. Now we find so often in common the scaring tales between mother-in-law and daughter-in-law. You know, instead of bringing joy and bringing muhabbat and uniting them, and say things that will bring them close, we say things that will jeopardize them and cause so much fitna. We make dua to the Almighty Allah that He save us, He save our women folk from all these crimes. Let us sincerely repent to Allah from all these sins, brothers. Let us pledge to Allah Ta'ala. Let us sincerely ask Allah at this juncture that we make tawbah for the salah that we have missed in our life. And we become conscious of Allah Ta'ala, you know, with regards to the future. Mawlana Sayyid Ahmed Khan Sahib Muhajir Madani Rahimahumullah Nawwar Allahu Marqadahu, he used to say, today the ummah is making istighfar, the ummah is not making tawbah. Istighfar means, O Allah, forgive me for the wrong that I have done. And tawbah means, O Allah, I promise never to commit it again. Today we are saying, Allah, forgive me for the past, but we are not pledging for the future. And that is what Allah wants. Let us be sincere in our pledge. Let us be sincere in our pledge. Let us cry to Allah. Allama Alusi Baghdadi has made mention of a hadith Qudsi in Ruh al-Ma'ani under the tafsir of Surah al-Qadr, where Allah Ta'ala says, لَأَنِينَ الْمُذْنِبِينَ أَحَبُّ إِلَيَّ مِنْ زَجْلِ الْمُسَبِّحِينَ. That the regret and the crying of the sinners impresses me more than the subhanallah of the pious. What does Allah say? The regret and the remorse and the pain and the agony of the sinners impresses me more than the subhanallah of the pious. So this is the night, let us cry to Allah. The great month of Ramadan is to dawn upon us. Let us receive it with the correct spirit. Let us welcome it with the correct spirit. May Allah Ta'ala give us all the tawfiq that we change our life and we become conscious of our salah. Recite Durud Sharif. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. اللهم ثبتنا على الإيمان وأمتنا على الإيمان واحشرنا يوم القيامة مع المتقين مع الإيمان. اللهم أرنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه وأرنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه. اللهم أحسن عاقبتنا في الأمور كلها وأجرنا من خزي الدنيا وعذاب الآخرة. يا أول الأولين ويا آخر الآخرين يا راحم المساكين يا ذا القوة المتين. Oh Allah, forgive our minor and our major sins, Allah. Allah, the sky is not the earth, has seen more evil sinners than us, Allah. Allah, every limb, every organ of our body, we have disobeyed you, Allah. Allah, there isn't a sinless limb in our body, Allah. Even our memory faculty has thought against you. Even our intellect has been channeled in your disobedience, Allah. Allah, our very existence is your disobedience, Allah. From the morning to the night, Allah, we haven't yet intended obeying you. When will we ever obey you, Allah? Allah, forgive our minor and our major sins, Allah. Allah, how long are we going to live a life like this, Allah? Allah, hold us, Allah. Allah, hold us by our hands, Allah. Allah, we are begging for your forgiveness, Allah. Allah, don't hand us over to our evils and our vices, Allah. Allah, we are a disobedient child that has come back to his parents, Allah. Allah, who ran away from his parents, Allah. Allah, we ran away from you, not for a day or for a week or for a month, Allah. Allah, decades if not centuries, this ummah has deserted you, Allah. Allah, it is time we come back to you, Allah. Allah, we are like that stubborn child that needs to be forced and compelled towards good, Allah. We say to you what Nabi alayhi salam said, وَخُذْ بِنَوَاصِينَا إِلَى الْبِرِّ وَالتَّقْوَى. Allah, hold us by our foreheads and steer us to your obedience, Allah. Allah, bring modesty in our sisters, Allah. Allah, bring morality in our sisters, Allah. Allah, bring honesty in our businessmen, Allah. Allah, bring piety in our youth, Allah. Allah, what is happening to this ummah, Allah? Allah, at this time, where one side our youth are in sin, Allah, and one side our youth are rebelling against you, Allah, other side our youth are dying for your deen, Allah. Allah, some are falling, Allah. Allah, we go home to a family where we have our parents and our children, Allah. Some are returning to homes with no children. Some are returning to children with no homes, Allah. Allah, at this time, Allah, Muslims are going through great strain, Allah. Allah, in this congregation, in the hundreds, Allah, that have gathered here, and the thousands that are listening, Allah, we beg for your kindness and your mercy, Allah. Allah, take pity on this ummah, Allah. نسألك بأسمائك الحسنى وصفاتك العلى واسمك العظم. We ask you through the medium of your great names, Allah. Allah, take pity on the ummah, Allah. Allah, make it easy for the ummah, Allah. Allah, how long will the land of Iraq still drink the blood of our children, Allah? Allah, how long will the land of Palestine still drink the blood of our sisters, Allah? Allah, how long will this ummah become a victim of abuse, Allah? Allah, after all, it is the ummah of your Nabi, Allah. Take pity on the ummah, Allah. Allah, bring Quran in our homes, Allah. Allah, take the devil boxes out of our homes, Allah. Allah, put muhabbat and understanding between parent and child, Allah. Allah, make us good businessmen, Allah. Make us faithful and loyal, Allah. Make us honest tradesmen, Allah. Allah, make us loyal Muslims, Allah. Allah, let us die in a condition that you are pleased with us, Allah. Let our last day be the best day, Allah. Let our grave be the best home, Allah. Let the malaika be the best guest to come and receive us, Allah. Let Jannah be our abode, Allah. Allah, give us water from the hands of Nabi alayhi salam. Allah, give us shade under your throne, Allah. Allah, when Sahaba will stand up, Allah, some will be stand up with blood, Allah, flowing from their bodies. Some will stand up, Allah, with martyrs on their names, Allah. Some will stand up on the side of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Allah, how will we stand up before you, Allah? Allah, in what condition will we stand up before you, Allah? Allah, death is a reality, Allah. Qabr is a reality, Allah. Jahannam is a reality. Your Nabi has said it in every dua. Allah, we are living a life unmindful of akhirat, Allah. Allah, let our eyes open up, Allah. Allah, let our eyes open up, Allah. How long would this material world blind us, cripple us, Allah, take us away from you, Allah? Let this Ramadan be a different one, Allah. Let this month be a different one, Allah. Allah, hold us back, Allah. Allah, we beg you, hold us tight, Allah. Allah, our youngsters that are sitting in any clubs, Allah, bring them home, Allah. Allah, take them off those drugs and those pills, Allah. Allah, any person committing any act of zina, Allah, take him out of that act of zina, Allah. Allah, any person in any difficulty, remove that difficulty. Allah, you know every man's needs, Allah. And you alone can fulfill the need of every person, Allah. Let every condition bring us closer to you, Allah. Whether it is prosperity or adversity, Allah. Whether it is wealth or sickness, Allah, let it strengthen our bond with you. Allahumma inna nasaluka min khayri ma sa'alaka minhu abduka wa nabiyyuka Muhammadun sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wa na'udhu bika min kulli sharrin masta'adhaka minhu abduka wa nabiyyuka Muhammadun sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Antal musta'an wa alayka albalagh wa la hawla wa la quwwata illa billahi al-aliyyi al-azim. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun wa salamun 'alal mursalin walhamdulillahi rabbil alamin bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.
Beware of fraudulent copies of this and other media products. Fraudulent copies prevent and destroy the possibility of future productions. Help us to continue providing you with digital media products. Buy a genuine copy.
For all your CD needs, contact Simtek Islamic CDs. 082-500-9111. Simtek Islamic CDs. Manufacturers and distributors of Islamic audio and media CDs.